I'm Faith Middleton. It's great to have you joining the party on the Food Schmooze here on WNPR in Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and New York, including the east end of Long Island. My food buddies are here, Chris Prosperi of Metro Beast Restaurant in Simsbury, Connecticut, senior producer Lori Mack, and producer Jonathan McNichol. Hey, everybody.
Hey.
Our food wisdom on the show this week comes from Jane Grigson, who said, "In my experience, clever food is not appreciated at Thanksgiving. It makes the little ones cry and the old ones nervous." She actually said that about another holiday, but I thought this is so perfect. We're going to talk about that later in the show. You know, how much pressure we all feel to be traditional, to do the same things time and again. And there's a comfort in that and a beauty in that, but maybe... Well, we'll see. We'll get to that in just a bit. Okay, we know that you probably have a favorite stuffing recipe. I know everybody in this room has one. But in case you don't, or just because a delicious recipe deserves to be cheered, get ready for this one. I'm talking about cornbread stuffing muffins that are baked in the cups of your muffin tins.
Oh, and it's already sweet because it's cornbread.
It's
so cornbread. I'm going to love it.
It has a kind of natural sweetness to it.
Could you do any stuffing
any stuffing. So if you loved our brown paper bag meatloaf, and we know you did, enormous number of hits on that recipe, you are going to love our cornbread stuffing muffins. They are packed with turkey sauce, sausage, onions, sage, cornbread, of course, then topped with toasted pecans. And you just pour the batter into your muffin tin cups, and you get to pass around the single best bread basket item on planet Earth. I mean, seriously.
Drizzle a little syrup on there.
You could. If you wanted, sure. So you can discover this recipe and all the other things we talk about now or anytime at our show's website. Simply go to WNPR.org and click on Programs for the Faith Middleton Show. All right, we have lots to talk about in this hour. Our second Thanksgiving prep edition, how to avoid holiday stress, Brussels sprouts, and making your mashed potatoes fluffy. That Brussels sprout recipe is terrific. Oh, but I am not done with this cornbread stuffing muffin thing, because here's what happened. Here's how I came.
Where did
this.
You find it?
I'm going through websites and cookbooks and magazines and newspapers, and I'm searching all over, and I'm looking, and I'm, you know, thinking about ideas, and I'm just kind of basically curating. And I'm halfway through Cooking Light magazine, and there it is. And I swung my head around, and I said, "Did I just read that? Are you kidding me?" This is so delicious. We made them cornbread stuffing muffins. They are great for any time. Brunch with a salad, which is what we did, with roast chicken. Or you can do them with pork. And, of course, you could do them for Thanksgiving, which would be really
sausage
kind of cool
muffins.
Thing. Stuffing sausage muffins. They have all those stuffing ingredients.
Just to get you ready.
Oh my god.
This is Southern stuffing, of course. But anyway, here, let me tell you what's in this and how easy this is to put together. Again, it's at our website, WNPR.org. Just go to Programs and search the Faith Middleton Show. Now, you can, if you want, make your own cornbread. But what is so great about this recipe is you go buy a box of cornbread muffin mix. In the thing. So while your oven is heating, you heat a skillet with a little oil in the pan, and you take the sausage out of the casing and crumble it in. Few minutes, just stirring it, crumble it up, add your onion and some celery and just a touch of butter, because this is cooking light, mind you. You just saute another few minutes and stir it, and then you toss in the sage, the fresh thyme, the salt and pepper, cook for a minute. Then you just stir in the chopped celery leaves.
Yum.
And then in a bowl, you put together chicken stock, a tiny bit of canola oil, and some beaten eggs. And then in another bowl, your baking powder and your cornbread mix straight out of the box. You add your chicken stock mixture and that onion mixture, and you stir it all together until it's moist, and you've got a muffin batter.
Oh, that sounds easy.
And you just spray your muffin tin. It usually serves 12. Yeah. Spoon the batter into each of the cups, and then you sprinkle one with chopped pecans and pop it in the oven.
I put
chopped bacon on top.
These are so good.
Have a little cranberry
on the
side.
Well, you could have fun with these. Yeah. You You could you could make them more spicy by changing up the sausage. You could do whatever you want, but try them this way, the way we have them.
I love those little muffin tins. I'm actually, when you said that, I actually think that you could take your stuffing recipe, whatever you're making for stuffing, add a little bit more egg, and instead of baking it in a casserole dish or, you know, how you're not supposed to put it in the turkey anymore or whatever, but if you made that stuffing mix and put it in the little muffin tins and then bake it, you'd have a portion for each person as their stuffing, because I don't know about you, Faith, but I love the crunchy stuff on the outside of the stuffing.
Yeah.
It would be like having the crunchy stuff on every bite.
Marion Roy, who's one of our production assistants, I was talking to her the other day and she said, oh, I just made the best Brussels sprouts. And so my ears perked up because a lot of people
make Brussels sprouts for Thanksgiving.
You do, Lori, right?
I'm the green bean person.
Oh, that's right.
I'm the Brussels sprout and bacon.
You are.
Sliced
okay.
Thin. Slice the Brussels sprouts thin.
Yeah,
well,
okay.
There's no bacon in this recipe. You certainly could add it. But so Marion said, you just get out a roasting pan and you just put some olive oil on the bottom of it and some chopped up garlic, and you chop up the Brussels sprouts. You cut up some pears, chop some shallots, and you just throw it all into the roasting pan. You're watching it, and she said, probably about a 400-degree oven. And it takes about a half an hour or so, and you're watching until the shallots get sort of brown and crispy. And then you take them out, and she said, and the Brussels sprouts are starting to get a little brown and crispy, too, and that it is
delicious.
I bet that's amazing. So you get the sweetness from the pears, which probably cuts through that bitterness from the Brussels sprouts.
And Chris, I don't see why you couldn't add pears. Love salt. You couldn't add some chopped bacon.
Of course,
at
pears
the last
love
minute.
Bacon love
pecans.
Pears.
Oh, yeah, yeah, sure.
No, that's just the combination of, and again, this is an aha moment, the combination of fruit and Brussels sprouts. I've never thought of that. Apples, pears.
Yeah.
Baking
right.
them in the oven with your Brussels sprouts. It's a where did you find that?
I don't know. Marion
that's a
Roy,
genius
thank
idea.
Thank you so
yes,
much.
Thank you,
that's
Mary.
Really, thank you. So this will be on our website too, WNPR.org. Click on programs for the Faith Middleton Show. You'll see everything we talked about, the cornbread stuffing muffins, and now the Brussels sprout recipe. Okay, does anybody, we're going to get to stress, does anybody do mashed potatoes?
Yes.
We talked about this before. Some people do four kinds of potatoes. It's just that kind
of
a day.
She looks at me, yeah.
So it's carbohydrate holiday is what I call it for Lori. But so I saw that somebody was doing mashed potatoes with chives and buttermilk. I can't think who this was, but that sounded
great
so good to me.
And
you can get, for people who are calorie conscious, you can get a non-fat or low-fat buttermilk, I should say.
Sorry, I didn't think you said that. Low-fat? It's holidays! No
okay, but I want to take care of people who have, you know, they might have health
issues.
Conditions, you want to be able to include everybody. Okay, but if you're someone who wants to go the full fat way, then you could just put buttermilk into your mashed potatoes. And I think you add a little bit of regular milk, too. If you need to cut down on the buttermilk, you could combine the two. And lots and lots of chopped chives, fresh chopped chives.
So what does the buttermilk
do? Keep them fresh, by the way, not dried chives.
Is it a flavor that you're going to get that's different?
It's a richness and a tang.
Yeah,
okay.
Acidity.
And it would affect texture, too.
Yeah.
So just all good all the way
because
around.
Because if you use a lot of cream and stuff, it gets a little, your palate gets a little coated with it, and that acidity.
In a really great way.
In a great way, but that acidity cuts through it to make you enjoy it even more.
Is that right?
It's totally true.
Do people who don't traditionally use buttermilk in their mashed potatoes, is that something that if you did it different, would anybody notice?
No. No, because the acidity in buttermilk is so low, it's not going to be that much of a difference, but it's going to add, like Faith said, that little bit of a tang that makes you want to eat more.
It makes you say, if you go to a place that is putting something into the mashed potatoes that and you just say, oh, what is it about these mashed potatoes?
That's exactly
there's a
it.
Little something. There's always this little ingredient that somebody puts
in. And buttermilk and mashed potatoes is one of those things.
I have a friend who puts chicken stock in her potatoes,
and it gives them
a kind of meaty
depth,
a note of depth. That's a better way to say it, Chris. Should we talk about stress? Because here's what came to my desk: Oprah's magazine.
Okay.
Oh, comes to my desk, and I was leafing through it. I thought, well, what are they doing with food? And just before I got to the food part, I saw that Dr. Phil had written an article about why we have so much stress at the holidays. And I thought, well, we talk about this on the show. There's never enough hours in the day as Thanksgiving approaches to get all these things done. So in our last edition of the show, we were trying to talk with you about all the things that you could do ahead. But there's a pressure on the holiday. It's so food-centric, especially Thanksgiving. And so you don't want to make mistakes. Is there a way to do this? And he said, you know, don't let perfection be an enemy of the good. And he said this in so many words. Yeah. Just, you know, for some people, go out to eat. He said, for other people, it doesn't have to be the absolute best you've ever done. If you make a mistake, it's okay. Just try to go into the holiday with a sense of it doesn't have to be perfect.
Keep it simple. That Brussels sprout recipe you just spouted out, that's perfect. You can't really mess that up. Simple is best. Simple mashed potatoes. Yeah, so if you're having stress, cut it back and just
dishes. We all do on Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. You know, trying to get it out there, trying to get it all to come out at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, no one ever has enough ovens.
That's true.
You know, and there's never enough refrigerator space. Yeah. It stacks up. It's like planes waiting.
Yeah.
That's a great description.
That's a good analogy. Yeah. So you need an air traffic controller in your kitchen.
You forget the rolls.
Really relaxed.
You either forget to put them in the oven or you forget that they are in the oven and you burn them.
But Faith said it. Don't stress it so you don't have rolls.
I didn't say it. It's Dr. Phil.
Yeah,
give him credit.
Yeah, but nobody will notice that you didn't have the rolls. Or if they do, throw them in at – oh, where are the rolls?
I said,
didn't put them in.
He was saying, really, 15 side dishes. Do you have to?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Well,
Lori does have to have starch in them.
Why do you have to?
Right. I just like it.
You like abundance.
Yes, that's my giving
abundanza.
Thanks. That's right.
Must be the Italian, huh?
All right, coming up in our next segment, we're going to be talking about tradition at the holidays. Just how brave we want to be at this time of year when traditions start to be important. What chances do you want to take? We're going to knock that around just a little bit. I'm Faith Middleton. I hope you'll make a charitable contribution to Feed the Hungry. More mouthwatering conversation and fun here on the Food Schmooze. We'll be right back.
Cornbread said, now that's all right. Beans. Meet me on the corner tomorrow night. I'll be ready tomorrow night. That's what Beans said to Cornbread.
I'm Faith Middleton. The Food Schmooze Party here on WNPR is heard Wednesdays at 3 and 9 p.m., Saturdays at noon. You can join the conversation with us on Facebook. Simply search The Faith Middleton Show. Thanks to our talented crew, senior contributor Chris Prosperi of Metro Beast Restaurant in Simsbury, Connecticut, Eugene Amatruda, Marion Roy, senior producer Lori Mack, and producer Jonathan McNichol. We thank you, first and foremost, for listening to The Food Schmooze. I wanted to say to Joel Veland, as we continue our Thanksgiving prep show, I wanted to take a moment to congratulate him because he was named in the November issue of Cooking Light magazine as a trailblazing chef. He received an award from the magazine, and
he is
at Community Table, that is the restaurant he owns and is the chef for in Washington, Connecticut.
We've had
him on the show, and we have eaten at the restaurant and loved it. Yeah, he has worked with a lot of great chefs in New York, in New Orleans, in Copenhagen. He worked at that Danish restaurant, Noma, that everybody talks about. So he has a way with fish, let me tell you. And he just, beautiful design. You feel he's got a whole Scandinavian aesthetic going on. So, Joel, congratulations to you from us on the Food Schmooze. I wonder what kids, if we polled a whole bunch of kids, what do kids think is the best part of Thanksgiving? Ooh, I can't say I know the answer to that.
I can't either.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. That's probably dessert.
That's probably
that was my favorite
point.
When I was a kid.
Mine too, and actually still is. So.
Still is.
Maybe
yeah,
maybe candied yams and candied sweet potatoes. Yeah. Possibly, I don't know if cranberry sauce is a big hit.
Yeah,
sometimes
in
people
my house
make a
it
sweet
is.
Cranberry sauce because kids kind of like sweet a little bit more than anything else. They probably like the bread. They like the rolls. They, mm-hmm. We know they probably like dessert.
Same stuff I like.
Yep.
Exactly. Go ahead, Jonathan. Hit the list.
Yes, you said it all. It's mashed potatoes.
What about the mashed potatoes? Yeah.
Pumpkin pie, the rolls.
Pumpkin pie.
My brother was a mashed potato guy now that I think about it. He loved – that was the number one thing about the holidays for him.
Kids like
mashed potatoes.
Because they're white.
They're white and they're fluffy and they're mushy and they're – and you can play with them. Right, you can make the little.
Right,
my brother
right.
used to make
that's
that volcano
important.
Thing with the
right.
spoon.
The Close Encounters. You make the mountain.
Yeah,
with the,
that's. Yeah.
You have that game, that plate that I bought this for a bunch of kids that I know. The plate they give you up a placemat and it tells you how to use your food on the plate to make a face.
No.
Yeah, so you line up the peas for
I
the
totally
smile, and you take your carrots and you make the nose, and you know it's really
I want
great.
One of those. Google.
Really? Okay. Sure. I can get you one. Yep. We're going to trade. You're going to give me wonton wrappers.
I'll give you wonton
and
wrappers.
I'm going to give you that. Okay. Let's talk a little bit about the traditions. This is our Thanksgiving, another Thanksgiving prep show. I think there's so much pressure on us to get things right that we're nervous. And it's so important. You don't want to let people down if you have guests or family members at the table.
Right.
So we tend not to change anything. And every once in a while, I come upon people who say, let's try something different. And I'm always, I look at them with great interest because I think, really? Oh, good for you. That's pretty brave. And so where are we on the spectrum? What do you think?
I'm on the tradition spectrum.
Because it's once a year, right?
It's once a year. You have memories around it and people always expect certain things. And I like to deliver that.
Okay, Chris.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm totally with you. I'm traditionalist when it comes to Thanksgiving. I like the
same stuffing.
It's not even about the same stuffing. I just like what the table was designed for originally, the multi-dishes on the table at once. And, yeah, the mashed potatoes, the stuffing, the gravy, cranberries, right? I mean, I don't think you have to go all that crazy. If you want to add one new dish like Brussels sprouts, that's totally cool. But I'm with Lori. The green beans have to be there, and they have to be the cheesy ones with the cream of mushroom soup and the durky onions. And, again, I didn't grow up with that because my parents are European, so we didn't have that growing up.
Where did you get that at school?
The first time I tried it as an adult, I tried
house?
It at someone's house.
Not mine.
I was like, this rocks. What? Where's this been all my life? And I totally get that it's cheesy, but it's part of our tradition.
It's
in
like
this country.
Marshmallows on our
it's
yams.
Like, yeah, which is really bizarre to me, but I totally get that too.
Hey, Jonathan, how about you?
I think really I'm on the other end of this spectrum, that I don't really care about the traditions as long as I still get pumpkin pie somehow. I mean, that's the thing, is that people associate this stuff specifically with the holiday, and then there isn't an opportunity for it elsewise. It's like
that's
candy
true.
Corns in Halloween.
That's right.
If we just had candy corns all year round, I'd just eat them all
special.
Year round.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what happened when I made a kind of candied yams at the house and brought them to my families on the Cape. And we sit down to the table and out. I bring them onto the table, and they're everything. We have a very Italian Thanksgiving. And so first there's homemade ravioli from scratch, the dough being extruded, the whole thing, with sausage and brujol and meatballs and, you know, you name it, and the pepper and anchovy salad. And then that all gets cleared away after everybody eats that. And then out comes the turkey and salad and the stuffing.
Wow.
Well, I had the nerve to introduce yams with pecans, toasted pecans, and I had butter
good.
In them and syrup and maple syrup, and I thought they were pretty good.
And the reception?
Well, the people looked at the dish as if it had dropped down from Mars. They just didn't know what to do with it.
Really?
Yeah, because we have had Thanksgiving never changes at our house. It is this. These plates go here, and this is what we have. And, you know, I just started passing it around, and people were taking little teeny amounts of it because they just didn't understand how does this fit in.
I'm having a flashback. About 10 years ago, I did something really crazy. I went to Italy for Thanksgiving, and I have a friend there who is from here, and she misses Thanksgiving, so we went there to cook Thanksgiving dinner in Italy. Now, they've nobody at the table except the three of us knew what Thanksgiving was. And we put all the food on the table as they were sitting there, and no one moved. It was like they just sat there and stared at everything, and no one knew what to do because they don't eat like that. They eat in courses. You know, they eat a lot of food, but they eat in courses and stuff, and they've never seen food put on the table like that, and they were all mesmerized. But they didn't even know how to serve themselves from it because do we put it all on the same plate? Because that's, again, wow, not how they're used to. This is – and I guess that shows you that this is truly – an American tradition. In other parts of the world, they don't even understand what we do with Thanksgiving.
Chris, I'm trying to think if you're the one who told the story. Somebody told me a story once of searching for a turkey and the other ingredients in Paris.
We had to pre-order the turkey 8 months before because they actually had to raise the turkey. And here's another one. Ready? They call me from Italy, and they said, the farmer wants to know if you want a male or a female.
No.
And I'm a chef, so I'm like, should I know the answer to that?
Wow.
I don't know the answer to that. And I mean, we cook a lot of turkeys at Thanksgiving. And
so
I,
what did you do in typical Chris fashion? You said both.
I said, you know what? We want one of each, of course. So that way we can have a side-by-side comparison. You know what the strange thing was? Okay, so I had no idea what I was doing going into this. So no one knows about these turkeys until the day before our Thanksgiving, which was the Saturday after. We go to pick up the turkeys. My friend picks up the turkeys and he's like, I don't think we have a refrigerator for this. I'm like, okay, we'll bring them over and we'll take a look at them. He went early in the morning to get them. I have never – the female turkey was about 14, 15 pounds, which is about normal, I guess 7 kilos. The male turkey was like 30 pounds.
Oh,
it was the largest turkey I've ever seen in my life.
Wow.
In Europe, they don't have big ovens. We had to cut the big turkey in half and find two other ovens to stick the halves in because no one had a big enough turkey to put.
That's amazing.
It was weird. It was such a surreal experience. But
am I crazy? I never dawned on me that turkeys were male and female.
That's what I said. I'm a chef. That's maybe male, female. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, isn't that an amazing thought? Of course they are.
No idea.
That's interesting.
It was an interesting experience, but it really did show that this is our holiday, no one else's.
Does this story mean that we're all eating female turkeys?
No, I think they're sized. They're just sized.
Okay,
right, so they raised the turkeys, I think. I'm still, like I said, I had a flashback about this. I'm still so.
But Chris, here's what's confusing, because I was going through one of our Thanksgiving cookbooks. We have a lot of them assembled here that we use as resources when this time of year comes around. And I was looking at them and thinking about things to do at our table. And then I came upon a recipe for a pate version of stuffing.
Ooh, that sounds good.
And it had bread in it, and it had veal. If you were making a pate in the true French way, there would be veal and pork, and they had bread, and I think they might have had Madeira as a liqueur. And on it went, this recipe, and onions. And I started reading the copy that went along with it, and it said, and you bone the turkey and lay it out flat, as you've described,
Sure.
And then you up the bone, right straight up, the joining bone. You put this layer of pate, essentially, and then you roast this in the oven that way. And then the juices from it, you know, they go back. And it said, this is from the French countryside, a recipe from the French countryside. And I thought, they're doing a turkey and their stuffing is pate? Well, this is genius. Why haven't we heard about this?
We're definitely bleeding over into the other parts of the world with our traditions and our food. I mean, a lot of our food can be found all over the world now, which is sort of funny because
they said it was old, though. This is an old country recipe.
Again, it could just be unrelated to Thanksgiving, right? It could just be
them. Mm-hmm. Just an occasional game bird.
Yeah. And that makes sense because the one thing that the Italians found the weirdest was that we cooked this one turkey whole. They were much better with the larger turkey that we cut in half than they were with the whole thing, because even Nico, my friend's mother, said she had never roasted a whole bird. a whole thing because they – again, in this part of Italy, they do more like pastas and stews and stuff. So they take a big piece of meat like a whole turkey or a whole chicken. They cut it up into little pieces and they eat a lot less protein.
And it
goes further to feed their families and stuff. So I mean that the whole thing of seeing a whole turkey, even the smaller one, whole on the table was just – they were taking pictures of it like it was something that they had – like you said earlier, like you were from Mars. Yeah. Like you just put something down on the table that no one's ever seen before.
Well, I think I mentioned earlier on another show that I had one year suggested to my family that we have lobster because I know a family that does that. They said, why should we have all that stress? We'll just have lobster. And they live in Chatham. And so it really made sense. And I thought they were going to pass out. I mean, I thought they were going to all – it was unbelievable. Well,
let's talk about tradition. I mean, when we say we're traditionalists with Thanksgiving, that could really mean a lot of different things, couldn't it? Because your tradition to you is to do these Italian things like the raviolis and stuff, right? I mean, that's not a traditional Thanksgiving but it's tradition to you because probably when your family –
the second course is traditional.
But when your family came here, that was their food, right? So they incorporated that into the Thanksgiving, which I guess we're even – us are forgetting that's the main purpose of the meal, right?
Yeah.
Is to give thanks for the bounty of the food.
You know, I feel like we will be remiss if we don't get back to the subject of gravy because as we get closer to actual Thanksgiving, this is something that people worry about. And I know we talked about it on the last Thanksgiving prep show last week, and you can look that up online at WNPR.org. Click on programs to find the Faith Middleton show, and you'll see that we did. We had all kinds of things. So we're doing another one now, and I think we should recap some things about gravy because let's do what are the greatest problems with gravy. Lumpiness. And, Chris, that comes from the kind of crazy way that people
thicken it. Cornstarch is the answer. Just don't even worry about
flour and roux.
And just, again, that adds a layer of stress that you don't need. Equal parts cold water and cornstarch. You make what's called a slurry. Mm. You just mix it around with your finger. And
Can I repeat that for people? Yeah. So equal parts water, cold water, and equal parts
cornstarch.
And how much typically would a person use in a gravy?
I always, you know what, it's funny because
Thanksgiving for hundreds.
Yeah, so. And it's not even that, but I always have trouble with this because cornstarch is really cheap, so don't worry about that. Just take a couple tablespoons with a couple tablespoons of water, mix it together with your finger, and then while your gravy now that you have with the water and stuff and it's lightly simmering, mix it in until you get the consistency you want. And if you have a little cornstarch left over, no big deal. And if you need to make a little bit more, make a little bit more. It's only mixing these two ingredients together with your finger. It's really stressless.
Is there a point where cornstarch will flavor something?
No, it is below the flavor threshold, which is one of those food scientist expressions.
Great to
so,
know.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah. You really can't taste it. So, it just adds a viscosity, a thickness.
So, this is a thing you can do with kids, the slurry part.
Totally.
Because it's a – what is it, Chris? It's a non-Newtonian fluid?
Yeah. You can run across it.
Right. It's a solid, but it's a liquid. Unless you – well, it's – right.
Oh, and that's why it thickens so well.
So that's the best way to thicken gravy. The one thing you do miss from doing the classic roux, which is butter and flour mixed together, which you could have problems with lumps, is the butter flavor in the gravy. So to fix that or to just add that, just take – when you're totally done thickening it, add one little nub of butter and melt it into the gravy and you get the butter flavor.
Right. So that's where we love this idea of using just a pat of butter or two to flavor something where you don't have to put a quarter stick, half stick, whole stick, three sticks into things. It really can be used as a flavoring agent, and you don't really essentially miss the rest of the butter so often. Now, to go back a step, if you've got canned gravy, the question is, how do we doctor that to make it acceptable? And Chris, you were talking last time about adding – yes. So let's start with reducing and wine.
Yeah. So take red wine. And I use whatever I'm going to – and this is a little tip too that we use in the restaurants, pairing food and wine together. And you don't have to take a lot. But if you're – say you're serving a Pinot Noir with your turkey. You take a little bit of that Pinot Noir.
No.
I'm not talking about – about a glassful. Listen, donate it to the food.
Really?
It will make – I'm telling you, you try this –
it's a little too fancy.
No, we've tried this
for my gravy.
But we've tried this side by side. We've taken just a cooking wine and the wine we were serving with the food, right? And made a reduction and made a sauce with each one. And then you taste the sauce with the wine. And of course, the one you made with the reduction of the wine that you're drinking pairs better with the food. Of course that makes sense because it's the same wine reduced.
I get you totally, except that we are not buying our wine at cost.
Okay, got it.
People buy a special couple bottles for the holidays. They've got this beautiful, maybe
$50 bottle.
Oregon Pinot Noir. And I would be standing there having, I don't know what, watching it go into the gravy pan. But in any case, it doesn't have to be red. It could be a dry white wine.
Yeah, whatever you like. And then reduce it by half. Right, so if you're starting with a cup, simmer it nice and at a low simmer so it's not boiling crazy. And then when you get half, then you add your gravy to it.
All right, your canned gravy to it. And you can do the same thing with a pat or two of butter.
Yeah, finishing it with butter at the end.
If by chance it's not thick enough for you, you can do this little cornstarch and water slurry that Chris was talking about. But it probably will be just thick enough. I actually think it's a kind of myth about gravy that gravy has to be thick and that sometimes it's too thick.
Yes.
And it doesn't taste like gravy because all you can taste is that sort of floury roux stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, in the sort of European tradition, we would just have the kind of juice from the meat itself. It would be au jus, right, mm-hmm. Chris?
So you don't need to thicken. So there's another thing. This is taking the stress out of the meal. You don't really need to thicken it.
Yeah. You know, if it's mouthfeel or it's exciting for the kids, kids probably love gravy on their mashed potatoes. You can do that too. All right. We have lots more coming your way on this special Thanksgiving prep edition. Please support your local food growers and food makers. Find the food, wine, recipes, and cocktails we feature anytime online at WNPR.org. Click on programs for the Faith Middleton Show. More delicious conversation after a quick break. Please stay with us.
Sausage in the pot. I'm gonna flavor it with okra, cayenne pepper to make it hot. You know life is what we make of it, so beautiful or so white. I'm gonna tell my kids a bedtime story.
Isn't he something? Oh, wow. What a band. I'm Faith Middleton with the gang. This is the Food Schmooze Party coming to you in Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and New York, including the East End of Long Island. You can tweet us at FaithWNPR, FAITHWNPR. And to join the conversation with us on Facebook, search The Faith Middleton Show. All right, Chris Prosperi, Lori Mack, Jonathan McNichol. Here we are with our Thanksgiving prep second edition. And here we were just talking about gravy. We were talking to you about just having to add a pat or two of butter, not a whole stick. It would flavor in a buttery way without using, you know, that and damaging your health, the calories and all of that. Well, just as I said that, I was looking at an edition of How to Cook a Turkey from the editors of Fine Cooking Magazine. And I opened the book on my lap to Silky Pan Gravy with Cream, Cognac, and Thyme. So here's another alternative. You could make a luxurious gravy, as they call it. And they note that heavy cream is the secret to this rich, silky gravy.
Never mind that low-fat buttermilk.
What were you saying about a stick?
Oh, boy. So what they do with theirs is they have the pan drippings, and then they add a couple of tablespoons of cognac, a half a cup of dry vermouth. They use quick but rich turkey giblet broth, which they give a recipe for. Or you could use low-salt chicken broth in a package. And some fresh thyme, a half a cup of heavy cream, and a quarter cup of all-purpose flour. So that is got to be one
rich, amazing.
There's no butter, but there's a lot of cream. Amazing. So that's the luxurious form of the gravy we've been talking about. And that's from the book, How to Cook a Turkey and All the Other Trimmings, from the editors and contributors of Fine Cooking Magazine. And we all use this. Lori, I have Lori's edition in my lap, and she writes down. You do. You write down what you serve every year.
Come on, read it
out
loud.
There are a couple of other books that I use, but I write down what I actually make every year with the page numbers so that I don't have to go looking for it. Like, I tried something last year in the dessert category that I really did not like, and I didn't write it. I didn't even bother. I just wanted to see what it tasted like, and if I liked it, then I would put it in the beginning of the
book. Okay, so you've done winter roasted vegetables with maple glaze.
That was delicious.
Yeah, green beans with brown butter and pecans. Really, how could that be bad? Cranberry sauce with orange juice.
Right.
So those are your standards
from
now.
That book.
Are there page numbers there too? Probably,
yes,
right?
Absolutely.
Easy
no,
reference.
This is a good. Yes. And so here's one that I have done, but not for Thanksgiving. But I love this recipe. It's red potato slices with lemon and olives.
Oh, yeah, that would be good too.
Yeah,
I love olives and potato.
I do too, and lemon with the olives, yeah. And so it all works together. And I
very
like that kind of Mediterranean feel to go with. Mm-hmm. The
your
turkey,
Greek Thanksgiving.
The Greek. So, and that one is just red skin potatoes that you slice a quarter inch thick and some olive oil in the pan. And you slice a lemon. I would choose an organic lemon in this case. And a couple cloves of garlic that you mince, some parsley, fresh parsley, kosher salt and black pepper, and pitted oil-cured olives, not the Kalamata olives this time. And, you know, there's a rack in the middle of the oven that gets preheated. You oil the baking dish and then start layering things, the potatoes, the oil, the lemon slices, the garlic, the parsley, the salt, and the pepper. And you smear it all over the bottom of the baking dish like that. And there you go. You just bake it. So pretty, yeah. You know, 20 minutes, and there you go. You're great at 425 degrees.
You can't have enough potato dishes.
Yeah, thank you very much for that.
Yeah. Well, you got to have that and the turkey. Oh.
In our last edition, you can find this online. We gave you a recipe for potato pie.
Oh, that was a great
recipe. That was Parmigiano Reggiano.
Yeah,
I think
I put sage.
Pie. Yeah. Oh boy, was that good? And that's online at WNPR.org. Just click on Programs for the Faith Middleton Show.
I've got a question. If you could only do one
type of potato?
No. If you could only do one, which would you choose, stuffing or mashed potatoes?
Mashed potatoes.
That's such a hard question.
You two jumped right in.
What would you say?
I'm going to stuffing.
Now I'm losing, Lori.
Yeah, I might have to go with stuffing too because I like my stuffing. It's got apples and three different types of bread.
Jonathan? No, I think that's a polarizing question.
I know.
Because I think some people, it's
and
just
so
all about.
So you see what his Thanksgiving is like.
That's why Thanksgiving is so stressful. Because people like me are at the table just looking for those little things to get now, them and throw
exactly
some wine
right.
in there. And you might as well have a hand
grenade. That is so French.
When I invite different people, I almost always ask if there's a dish that they have to have.
Wow.
Not necessarily that I'm going to make, but I, you know, say by all means bring it.
That's a good way to get the stress off the table.
A really good friend of mine from college came to visit me a few years ago for Thanksgiving, and I made all the wrong things for him. Talk about adding stress. I realized he wasn't eating the stuffing. He wasn't eating the green beans. They all had things in them, like the green beans had the nuts. The stuffing had apples in it, the one that I traditionally make.
Wasn't that his problem?
It is. I'm sitting here thinking the same thing as Jonathan.
My jaw's hanging
up. But, I mean, that's something you'd feel bad about.
Why?
Well, but there's so many things at the table.
You want to please somebody you've invited to your house. It's a gift to them. You want to make them happy. However, it would seem to me if you're someone who doesn't like a lot of foods, it's your responsibility to say, and by the way, I'm a super plain eater, you know, so don't worry about me. Just a little hint would be nice.
Yes.
You know, what's the guest's obligation?
Well, he's coming
again
this year.
That's what I've been doing my whole life.
So
I'm going to make two different kinds of stuffing.
See, that's just
no. No, that's a no.
I would say no.
No.
You gotta make a plain, simple one.
And I think you're, and I would too. I think if somebody, a good pal was coming, and I mean, I certainly have vegetarians who come to the house, and I make a whole separate.
But he didn't complain, right?
He did not. Right. I noticed it. Right. And then I found out later what the reasons were.
Yeah. See, because I would never – I wouldn't complain. I mean, it doesn't – I'm used to that. And you just eat what you like and
– Yeah. And I think there's enough stuff on the Thanksgiving table. There's got to be something you can eat. No, with, especially I'm yours just, where you do 10, 15 different dishes.
Well, what's the obligation of – the host often asks now, is there any food you can't have?
Right.
And the answers are sometimes surprising.
They are. And then you say, well, I was going to invite you to dinner, but never mind.
Okay, so that's number one. Number two, does the guest have a responsibility to – I mean, if it's a major issue, people certainly know they have to tell you, I eat gluten-free or whatever it might be. I'm diabetic. I can't have sugar, but I'll be fine. I'll bring my own dessert, whatever. You know, but what's your responsibility as a guest? I have friends who will say, oh, that's okay. You find out after they've arrived, they're vegetarian and they're just eating a bowl of string beans because I didn't know.
And you put bacon in everything like me.
No. I feel terrible. I just think, well, why didn't you tell me? I don't want to make a fuss. And you see, if I were the vegetarian, that's how I would be. I wouldn't want to make a fuss. But it does put the host on the defensive.
But do what you said earlier. Just that one little, listen, I'm a little bit of a picky eater. I just want to make sure you understand that. And don't worry. There's plenty of things for me to eat here.
Right.
I'll be fine. And that takes the weight off your host. And that's the right thing to do. Because otherwise you're making stress. And the holidays, it has enough on its own. You don't need to contribute to.
Well, that's a good point.
When I have – I was a vegan for 18 months. And I was,
wow.
No,
Look at all our jaws around the ground.
No, I loved it.
Did
I
you?
Was, yeah, I really
oh, wow.
felt great.
Okay.
I loved it. And then I
– You ate bacon.
I had a – yes, a car accident with bacon.
Yeah,
and
that
I just said that. Truly, that's really how I fell off the wagon.
Yeah.
So, but I just brought food unannounced to people's houses. I just brought my own food and I would, you know, come in the door and just say, please, I just didn't want to stress you.
I brought my own peanut butters and crackers.
You know, I would bring
So you wouldn't tell them ahead of time?
No, I just bring a piece of, you know, whatever.
Yeah. You know, and then you can also coddle it with the simple fact that Thanksgiving's about family and friends and don't worry about me, I'm fine.
But I learned a lesson. And I did that at Amy Bloom's house. I walked in the door and I brought a piece of – this time I was eating fish. And
one of the life phases
doing a vegetable
of Faith
thing. Yeah. And so she said, what are you doing? And I said, well, I brought myself some salmon. And she said, but I would have cooked salmon for you. And I said, well, but you're making such and such. And she just looked at me, you know, and said to me very sincerely, I wanted to cook something for you. I would be happy to have just put a piece of salmon in the oven to go with everything else that I made, you know. And I thought, oh, now this is worse than ever.
Right, right. You know, so how do you get around that?
So I know never to do that again.
But that's what that one friend. I don't understand what you're...
But you want to please
your
fellow who's coming,
right?
And so you're willing to make two stuffings. There you go.
I would like to thank my mom and dad right now for taking this all off the table and making reservations.
Yeah.
Seriously.
You
know,
you
it's
go
been,
out to
it's
eat.
Been
yeah.
5 years.
Great
we go to Red Lion Inn where my friend Brian Ulberg is the chef. We get there really early. We're the one of the first tables in there. And my mom can have salmon. I have a steak. I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He has a – you can get Thanksgiving with all the trimmings or you can have a piece of salmon. And you know what? We order a nice bottle of wine and we have nice conversation and then we go for a walk afterwards and we don't have to cook, clean or do anything. And again, we give thanks. We still
that
give
is.
Thanks. I give thanks to Brian Ulberg and the Red Lion Inn for taking all the stress off my Thanksgiving.
That sounds
table.
Really quite wonderful to me all of a sudden.
You're all invited.
Now,
it's a
well,
big
really
place.
Everybody's invited.
I really like the chaos of holidays. I think that is just part of it, and it's fun for me. People coming from all over the place. I like people sleeping on the sofa, on the floor. I like kids and the parade in the background at the same time Alice's restaurant from Arlo Guthrie's playing. I like that.
So maybe as Americans, we like the stress.
That's a different kind of stress. That's
it's energy. It's not stress.
It is. That's right.
Okay,
it's energy.
Maybe,
and it's not about the food because that is stressful.
And you can look up online for any of your local restaurants that are serving Thanksgiving
that's
this
right.
year.
Well, you know, let's talk as we wind up about desserts. There are people who do the same thing every year. They make the same thing. the certain pie or cookies or whatever they do. And then there are people who pretty much don't want the added stress of baking, and so they will go out and buy desserts for this holiday. And I'm trying to think of things that are fairly easy to do. So, Chris, I think this comes back to not making your own pie crust. Yeah, yeah.
And must-haves, too, right? There's, like Jonathan, I think, already said four times pumpkin pie.
What? Pumpkin pie. You need to have pumpkin pie.
Right. There are definitely must-dos. So, and pumpkin pie is an easy one to have little tricks to take the stress and make it a lot easier. You know, canned pumpkin are great. Actually, I judged the contest between two pies, and we didn't know which was which, a homemade version where they actually cooked the pumpkin and a canned version.
It was who won?
And it wasn't just me. It was Dory Greenspan, too. I couldn't tell which was which, but Dory and I both picked the canned pumpkin one over the fresh pumpkin one.
Yeah. I'm perfectly fine with a store-bought pumpkin pie. It, just as long as there's pumpkin pie. It doesn't have to be.
Yeah, so, but if you're going to make it yourself, definitely buy the crust. Pre-made, right?
And Chris's trick is to roll it a little thinner.
Yeah.
Some extra
and then
flour.
Definitely, you know,
and
don't
set a pat of butter.
Yeah,
to give it a little more.
That was Laura. Yeah, to brush it. Yeah,
brush it a
little.
Okay.
And then buy canned pumpkin.
Okay.
But look at the cans. Make sure you're not getting all that added stuff. It should just say pumpkin on the can.
And whipped cream on the top. That's important.
Yeah, and that hides all the imperfections and the cracks and anything.
Really, it's just a whipped cream delivery device, actually.
Right.
As many things are.
So what are your must-have for dessert? Jonathan's, we already know, is pumpkin pie.
Can we talk about it some more?
Yeah. I think, what's your must-have?
Well,
is it Italian?
No. Given anything, I would probably choose a chocolate brownie with walnuts.
Ooh.
You know, a chocolate brownie with nuts.
Is that traditional on your
tiny
table?
Bit of, no, not at all.
But that's what you would like to
but
have.
Yeah, sure. That would be really fun. I do like many kinds of pie, and you know, so that's all great. But I'm a real fan of crumb topping. I love that streuseli topping on fruit pies.
Apples. Oh.
I was looking at Fine Cooking's Thanksgiving book, and I noticed that they had a recipe for a quick hot fudge sauce, and I was looking at it, and I thought, you know, that's pretty clever. Even if you go out and get your favorite store-bought ice cream, and there's some terrific ones out there, you know, Grater's now, Graeter apostrophe S, is from Ohio, and my family loves this ice cream so much that they used to have it shipped.
Wow, that's an endorsement.
And now it's in Stop and Shop and a lot of supermarkets now, Grater. So, and I was thinking, well, even if you said, look, we're going to have ice cream and cookies, and I made up some hot fudge sauce.
Make your own sauce and buy some great ice cream. And if you're inviting me over, don't forget that sea salt and caramel ice cream. Gelato from Filetes. Not that I've ever mentioned that before, but that is a really good gelato.
That company makes great ice cream. I just tried for the first time their milk chocolate.
Ooh, I don't know
yeah,
that
it's
one.
Very good.
You've had that one?
Yes. Yeah,
it's
really
very good.
Chocolatey.
And they have a dark chocolate, too, I think.
I haven't tried that. Is that I saw it. I saw it the other day.
All right, so how many people serve – I don't think I've
had
ice cream on Thanksgiving.
Never.
But would that be something that would be okay? I guess you could
alongside
do it on the side of your
something.
Pies, right?
Well,
sure.
Think of it, though. It's the end of the meal, and it's a big meal for many, many people with all kinds of things. And we often go for a walk as
we
a family
too.
And then come back and have dessert. So –
You know what I've been doing as a dessert, which I think would be perfect for Thanksgiving, is for breakfast we do these breads now. So either pumpkin bread or apple walnut bread, and I always have leftovers. So what I do for dessert is I take that, I smear a little butter in it, bake it in the oven, put a scoop of ice cream on top and some chocolate sauce or caramel sauce or in some whipped cream, and it makes a very simple, like you were just saying, no stress, no worry, but you make your own chocolate sauce to pour on top and it's heaven. So you can buy a good pumpkin bread or apple bread, toast it, put a scoop of vanilla ice cream on top and your own sauce. And
so as you can see, we've done the last couple of shows as Thanksgiving prep shows on the early side because, this is fun for us all to talk about and think about. We love to brainstorm with you and with each other about what to do. And we're trying to take the stress off you. If there's a way that you might find this encouraging to try some things ahead.
Right.
We talked about that a lot in our last show. Then, jump right in. It will ease the stress. We've talked about how to keep things simple and not to make perfect an enemy of the good, not to think that this whole holiday has to be perfection in any aspect of the holiday, whether it's communication or the food you make, whatever it is. You just do your best.
And if you want to do a recipe you've never tried before, you still have time if you want to give it a quick – it's
try.
Sunday. And
does
you want to give it a quick
that?
try.
Do you test out anything ahead of
time? I was actually planning to do that this year. I wanted to try the slow roast turkey that we had talked about on a previous show about a month or so back,
sure.
Maybe more.
That's a good
where
idea.
You leave it in the oven for, I don't know, some like 12 hours. Talk about stress-free. Put the turkey in the night before.
And guaranteed, this will not be the end of our Thanksgiving conversation. I bet we'll have more things to tell you because we're discovering things all the time. The Food Schmooze on WNPR airs Wednesdays at 3 and 9 p.m., Saturdays at noon. We're online anytime. Find the recipes, food products, restaurants, value wines, and easy cocktails we feature at WNPR.org. Click on Programs for the Faith Middleton Show. Here's to pleasure, my friends, and remember, never eat more than you can lift. In New Haven, I'm Faith Middleton.
Everybody eats when they come to mind.